I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I mean, I survived being married to an ex-con, who is now a dead husband, and I had been the number one murder suspect. I survived owning a rundown campground in the middle of the Daniel Boone National Forest and turning it into a thriving business. I even got the key to the city once. Granted, the city only consists of a few hundred people, but that's saying something. Getting the key to the city, not the few hundred people. Plus, I survived more situations where I could have been murdered than I can count. Oh, and let's not forget how I survived my husband's mother. That woman was and still is a doozy. Trust me, when I say this was the biggest survival of all, getting Dottie Swaggart to like me. It took months of hard work, patience, and maybe a few bribes of turning Happy Trails Campground around so she'd still be the campground manager with an even higher salary. But I did it. I'm a survivor, I whispered, trying to convince myself this was no different than any of those other life-threatening situations. I just needed to get down this hill in one piece. How hard could it be? Deep, slow breaths. My mantra played in my head with each inhale and exhale, the condensation from the frigid air fogging up my snow goggles. I stared down the mountain. Well, it felt like a mountain. All around me, seasoned skiers zipped by like they were born with skis attached to their feet. Conversations around me were muffled by the loud thump of my heart pounding in my ears. Lady? Someone poked me with the end of their ski pole. Are you going or not? I turned around and faced a line of little folks. By little folks, I mean children. A dozen tiny, impatient skiers with too much confidence for their size.
You've got this, May,
said Alvin Dieters, his voice gentle like he was coaxing a nervous deer. He was the instructor, but honestly, he looked more like a kindergarten teacher trying to keep a rowdy class in line. I bit my lip and glanced over his shoulder at the rest of my classmates. All their beady little eyes were fixed on me as they stared through their ski goggles, shifting their weight from one foot to the other in perfect unison.
Can't we just leave her here? One of the boys muttered.
We are a class. We will have plenty of time to go out on our own,
Alvin said firmly, trying to restore order. The little boy, now glaring at me as if I was personally holding up his Olympic career, just huffed. I scrunched my nose and glared back. I wasn't going to let a 10-year-old bully me off this mountain, or Bunny Hill, or whatever this was. It still looked big to me.
What are you waiting on, Maybelline?
Dottie Swaggart's voice echoed from halfway down the slope. She was standing at the bottom, one hand on her hip, the other holding her cigarette aloft.
Stop piddling around the yard!
Yeah, stop piddling!
The kid behind me echoed, as if he and Dottie were some kind of motivational tag team. I turned to look at the kid, then back at Dottie. She was now waving her cigarette wildly, the smoke trailing off in the winter breeze. Before I could even think of a clever retort, my skis betrayed me.